edition of the podcast. It's McCowan here and Shannon down there at the bottom of your screen if you're watching, and still at the bottom of your screen if you're listening.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. And with us, a good friend and a good guy. He is the president now of the Vegas Golden Knights. George McPhee is with us. You look beautiful, McPhee. How are you?
That's a great way to start.
Well, I know he's not a manager anymore. He's smiling. I mean, that's the one thing. He's not managing, so now he can smile again.
Yeah, Kelly's got 90% of the stress now.
I got a whole boatload of questions for you. But unless I'm mistaken, McPhee, you guys have not had a positive COVID test during this training camp. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
Yeah, you had a couple of guys out, but Pacioretty has been listed as unavailable to play. I know you can't talk about, you know, the great secrecy, the great wall of secrecy at the National Hockey League. Can't tell us what is wrong, but is he going to be okay by the time you get to Edmonton?
Yeah, in that instance, Pete DeBoer has already disclosed it, so it's not COVID.
Well, we figured it wasn't COVID. Yes, I know that. Well, he's going to be ready. He's okay. Going to be okay for Edmonton, you think?
Should be. We'll find out in the next day or so. But so far, so good.
Hey, George, the thing about the COVID testing is when you think that in this phase, I think it's phase three, that we've gone through and only two players of more than 800 and more than 2,300 tests, only two players have been given positive markers. To me, that's absolutely phenomenal and speaks to what every training staff, including yours, and the diligence that they put in place for the players to follow.
Well, I think those are remarkable numbers so far. And I think our guy deserves a medal, you know, and I'm sure they've all been outstanding around the league to do what they've been doing. Kelly and I are holding our breath whenever we get a call from downstairs from our guy to give us an update, because you don't want it to be that call. But so far, so good. And we're just hoping, you know, we've got 4 days to go. Can we get through 4 days without anyone getting sick or injured?
Are you working out? Is the team working out at the practice facility, not in the main rink, right?
Yes.
Any particular reason for that? Was there anything COVID related to that decision?
Oh yeah, it's much easier to separate the players, and we have two rinks and we have a lot of locker rooms in between the rinks. We don't have our players in our clubhouse right now. We still have them separated in a number of different locker rooms. So, and we have, separate entrances. And so when they're not on the ice, we're keeping them distanced.
Is there an easy way, George, to explain what you've been through since March the 11th when you played your last game? I mean, this has been a bit of a roller coaster even for people off the ice.
Yeah, it's we've gone through what a lot of people have gone through. It's been a historic time for this planet. It's been, you know, there are a lot of people that are suffering out here, a lot of people that can't make a living, and you know, you just wonder when it's going to end. You hope it does soon enough. I wish people would wear masks, because it seems to help a ton. I don't know what the debate is in this country with respect to masks. It's pretty simple. And so you try to get through it, and we have. I was fortunate to be able to come to work every day. There was no one here. I could come to my office and do things. And we got a lot accomplished with our staff in terms of pro scouting and amateur scouting and so on. We're here now. Our small groups, phase one was in two, went fine, and we're in three now. And again, we've got our fingers crossed that it keeps going the right way. I think we're fortunate to be going to Edmonton, where, you know, the virus is almost non-existent. So I hope the worst is over. I worry a little bit about this state right now. Things have spiked here, and hope that, you know, we can get away and have a long run and come back and everything's fine.
George McPhee of the Golden Knights is with us, the president of the Golden Knights. You talked about the spike in the state of Nevada and specifically in Las Vegas. It's been significant, comparable by percentage to Florida, Texas, California, and several other states. I'm intrigued. John and I, as you know, are sitting here in Toronto where we have never had, I mean, we've had cases, we've had significant numbers, relatively speaking, but we've been in the 100s a day for quite some time, about a month. I think it hit 200 yesterday, but I've got to think that there's a different atmosphere in Vegas than what John and I have gone through. You know, you're careful and you're concerned, but Vegas has had big numbers the last little while. Tell us about how you've reacted to it, you and the family, George.
Well, it's interesting. Fortunately, my family's been on the East Coast for a while here, in a state that where the numbers are way down, so they're safe. You know, I think the Nevada did a great job of getting ahead of things, shutting things down and getting ahead of it. And I think they were fine when they opened the state up in phase two. The mistake was not wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why there's even a debate over that. But, you know, there's a rich history in this country, you know, when it comes to your rights and freedom and
yes, sir.
That was a mistake. My wife and I were walking around Summerlin about 6 weeks ago, downtown Summerlin. We had our masks on and looked around, and 30% of the people wore masks. And I said, I don't have a very good feeling about this. This is gonna spike, and it has. And it was right about that time my family went east, so I felt fortunate. You know, we've had about 1,000 new cases a day here. Unfortunately, had 28 deaths yesterday, which is the largest number we've had. And the first time over 20 since April. So we've got to get a grip on this here, and hopefully it starts to happen soon.
John?
George, I mean, it's difficult to talk about, you know, the game of hockey after we talk about really something that affects us all. But this has been a monumental last 30 days when you consider that the return to play plan that included Vegas at one point and now doesn't. And then you have a collective bargaining agreement extension. Maybe first the CBA. Do you believe that the CBA gives you a lot more stability over the next 6 years now?
Oh, absolutely. And I think they did an outstanding job, the league and the Players Association, to really get it. And understand what needed to happen here, and to be able to come up with an agreement that works for both parties. And so I am amazed what the league has pulled off in the Players Association in getting that done, having all these return to play protocols, and you know, a lot of us are confident now that this league can pull off a full playoff and championship. We looked well organized. And again, we looked like a sports league that gets it and understands what's going on in the world.
To that point, what do you think? I mean, you go to Edmonton on Sunday. What do you think the biggest obstacle to making sure that the Stanley Cup is given out in early October in Edmonton. It sounds strange to say that, but I mean, the cup, that's where the cup's going to be given out. So what do you think from the whole protocol point of view, the biggest obstacle is going to be?
Well, naturally, an outbreak would be a problem, but
right.
My concern would be, all of us, what we've done so far to be smart, to be protective, to wear the mask, wash hands, do the distancing, quarantine, everything, all that we've done. I have some concerns about the staff in Edmonton going home at night.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I would have liked if they were, just to stay in the bubble like the rest of us. That would seem to be, there's going to be risk. That would seem to be the only risk as far as I'm concerned. And given that the virus is low there, I hope it's minimal.
I want to turn the clock back here just a minute or so. You were talking with John about the new CBA. And this is just a personal opinion, but it appears to me, and I have nothing to base this on, George, but it appears to me that what has happened with COVID influenced both sides of the negotiation, both the CBA, both the Players Association and the league, that they were slightly gentler, kinder, more understanding. More willing to look long-term forward, understand the short-term forward is going to be problematic. Do you think that is true? I believe it, but I don't have anything to base that on. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think you had two experienced leaders in Bettman and Fair and really bright guys who have been through some real battles in their careers in this area. And we're both probably hoping, they could get a new CBA done without a heck of a lot of acrimony. I think this pandemic tempered things, but it also expedited a deal getting done. There really wasn't a rush to get it done before now. And I think both of these gentlemen realized this had to be done now. And in looking at the whole landscape with the other leagues, that this was an opportunity for hockey to really lead and do things right. And they sure did. They sure did. People at this time didn't want to hear about the acrimony. They just didn't want it. And these guys kept it quiet and announced a CBA that really is going to work for the league. And this labor piece will really help put our sport on a rocket ship.
You know what's fascinating, George, and it's the modern day, is that never once were the two groups in the same room since March. Not once. Everything was done like this.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. And, I think this is going to change a lot of things in the future,
Is it going to change your scouting?
It certainly could change some scouting meetings. For sure. Do you absolutely have to bring everybody in for a meeting now? No. We learned that as we were going through the year and having our pro staff on or our amateur staff on, that this works well. And there'll be a lot more telecommuting in the future.
McPhee, you are an organization that has yet to name a captain for your team. That is becoming increasingly more common. That would not have happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. Everybody had a captain. And, I gather at some point players voted in some way, shape, or form for this. Is there any particular reason why you've waited in order to do this? Is it that you are not, you are of the belief that maybe the captain's role is overstated in today's game? Is it because you didn't feel that there was somebody obvious for the job? Well, why wait?
Well, I don't think the role is overstated. I think it's a very, very significant role and could be a burden to someone and then ultimately to the team if you don't pick the right guy. I think just in terms of our blueprint, we wanted a team without a hierarchy. We wanted all the players treated the same. We liked this notion of we have 23 captains. It was all about trying to be really team-centric. And why name a captain now when we don't even know the players yet? Referring to our first year. Let's get to know everybody. And so we did it that way, and it was fine and has been fine. I think ultimately, if you've got someone who is just an ideal captain, and we can have conversations on if we named a captain, how does it make us better? Like let's dig into that. How, if we're naming someone a captain, why are we doing it? How does it make us better than what we are now? And if there are legitimate reasons to do it, then we go ahead and do it. We've certainly got some people that could be that person. So we'll see what the future holds, but I really liked doing it to start. And, the Boston Bruins won, two cups years ago without a captain. And unless you've got the ideal guy, I personally wouldn't be comfortable doing it.
Yeah, but your coach says you're going to name one at the end of the of this season. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, we'll have our discussions, and it looks like it's trending that way, and we'll see where it goes.
But in many ways, George, your world with your team and your relationship with your team has changed so much from that first year. I mean, everybody came to town. And correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of guys were getting paid around the same money, and you didn't have some guy making a big pot of money, and things have, you've had to adapt, you've had to evolve a lot of stuff now, and you in renewing people's contracts and acquiring players and signing them. So that level playing field of players has changed for your squad too, hasn't it?
It has. Again, when you first put a team together, there's still going to be a lot of turnover in the next few years. And there was, and I remember, no secret that we met with Bob Clark at one time, we met with Doug Risebrough to talk about their experiences in expansion. And there are lots of takeaways. But the one that Risebrough had mentioned, don't be afraid to make the trades you have to make, even though, if you have a good year, and there's some real, you're really attached to some players and there's some real sentimental, sentimentality that comes into it. You still have to make those trades. You have to keep the cup in mind, and that's where you're trying to go. And we knew there'd be lots of turnover, and we didn't want to put a captain, a C on someone, and then a year later he's gone and now you're putting one on someone else. So right. Why bother? And again, it actually worked very well for us. We're at a different stage now. So it might be that time to go in the next direction.
You can get back to the captain thing anytime you want, Bob. But I was curious, you talked about talking to Clarkie and to Doug Risebrough. Has Ron Francis reached out to you? I mean, a year from now, we're going to be in the Seattle mode, and it's going to be a summer of Seattle next year, and guys protected, and the plan, and Floyd, and I mean, the blueprint you created with your expansion and the leverage you created amongst teams was brilliant. And has Ronnie reached out to you?
We've talked a few times. We talked, 10, 12 months ago. We actually talked today. It was a different matter. I don't know that I gave him a whole lot. He asked a few questions. I can't remember the conversation from a while ago. Todd Lewicki and I met, it feels like a year and a half ago.
Wow.
We worked together in Vancouver, and he's obviously a wonderful guy and really outstanding sports executive. We met, and I was trying to help him in explaining how we view things and what we tried to accomplish and how we went about it. So I thought that was probably productive for him.
So you guys will play, correct me if I'm wrong, because watching a lot of sports in this environment, and everybody's got a different formula to get back to play, but you guys will play three more games kind of in the regular season before you get down to the eight teams in the Western Conference in the playoffs. Is that right?
Well, we have an exhibition game and then three seeding games.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you think this team, your team, will react to that? And I ask that because this is also new for everybody, and character, camaraderie, all kinds of emotional issues may be far more important in this kind of short little thing that we have here. And what happened up until March may be of very little consequence to what happens in the next few weeks, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't, what happened in the season doesn't matter. It doesn't matter now whether you had played well or not played so well. It's what you're doing now 4 months later. And it's like a new season. So I read a great article the other day just about, you know, how players sort of ramped it up quickly for the World Cup. Mm. And I think we're in the same sort of thing. We've had a little more time to practice and so on, but practice, you get ready and you ramp it up in a hurry. And go ahead.
I just wanted to say this is much more experience.
Finger wagging if we were on the phone, but no.
I wag my finger at you on the phone too. You just don't see it.
He wags his finger a lot at you, George, on the phone. Let's face it.
So, if we go back to season one of this team, this was a very inexperienced team. There weren't a whole lot of guys that had, well, your goaltender had a lot of experience, but there weren't a whole lot. And you pulled that one together. And now you have more veteran presence on this club. What do you think the significance of that will be, George, in this brief little thing we're about to
do? Yeah, I only think that it can help. I think we have a pretty balanced portfolio. You know, in terms of our team, we have four solid lines that we can play, three solid D pairs that we can play, two solid goaltenders. We have depth where guys can come into the lineup if we have some injuries. It's a more experienced team. And what I like about the team is that we just have lots of leadership. You know, I don't know that we have any superstars, and maybe you're better off in this league now having a team full of B and B plus players rather than a team with two or three A plus players, because somewhere in that mix, you gotta put some C plus players in the lineup. But if you're D and B plus, are you better off? I don't know, but I like the look of our team. But the leadership, that we have is pretty darn good. And I think it was John Beliveau that said a long time ago, leadership is number one and everything else is number two.
Mm. Hey, wait. The good news is, Pacioretty aside, you're going to go to the playoffs really healthy. The bad news is, so is everybody else. And in my mind, after all these years that you've been around, George, you have to think that the gap between 1 and 12 or 1 and 24 is a little narrower because everybody's so healthy.
Yeah, and let's face it, it's you know, you have to have a good team to win, but you need some luck too. Mm-hmm. And you know, we were a little unlucky at the end of the season with some of the injuries we had. We had some real good players that are going to be out a long time that would not have been ready for that first round.
Right.
So hopefully we are this time. But someone called this a hockey extravaganza, and I think they're right. I think it's going to be amazing to watch this, and you're going to be able to watch hockey all day long.
It's going to be like, you know, it's going to be like when you were a bantam or a peewee, George, and you got in the car, and you and your mom and dad went to the tournament, and you stayed for 3 days, and you played, you know, a mini sticks in the hallway, because that's what a hockey tournament's all about, right?
Yeah. Well, I was never good enough to play in any teams that ever went to tournaments. So.
Oh yeah. Please.
Oh, honest to goodness, I didn't. I don't think I made a travel team until I was a minor midget. So.
Oh. I think this is deja vu for the kids. I think it's deja vu for the players.
Yeah.
They're gonna get in this. Yeah. They're gonna get in this, and this is gonna be like when they were 12.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, we have some experience of, you know, when you're at the World Championships.
Sure.
You know, you're all staying in the same hotel and eating in the same areas, and it can be a little awkward at times, but, you know, it works.
You are used to sitting beside your owner during games. Is he going up to Edmonton too?
He'd like to. So we're just sort of, we're talking to the league about how owners can do that, how we can bring them in. And so.
Oh, it's not a given, huh?
Oh, they're not in the bubble, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are ways to do it. I think if you come up and you quarantine for a little bit and do all the testing and so on. So they're working on that protocol, but our owner, would certainly like to be there for that.
Given the circumstances of this, you know, I was going to say middle of the season training camp, but of course it's not. We're in July. Is there any advantage, in your opinion, to being one of those teams that's playing a best 3 of 5 against the same opponent who have known for some time now who they're going to play and what obstacle faces them first, rather than you guys, couple of exhibition games, and then you play 3 play-in games against different teams? How does that fit?
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine that the playoff series could have more intensity than the seeding games, but maybe not. You know, when you come back for training camp and you get into your exhibition games, the first 2 or 3 games, there's lots of intensity.
Boy, is there ever.
And then it sort of levels off, and guys are just sort of trying to get through games to get to the start of the season healthy. I would imagine, you know, we're going to play 3 really good teams. I think the intensity should be pretty darn good.
Is there any competition for jobs right now? I mean, you have a slightly expanded roster. Are there opportunities there now?
Yeah. We have to make a couple of decisions before we go. We have to cut 2 players. So, yeah, our camp has been the pace of our practices and everything else, and our scrimmages has been very, very good. The intensity has been very good. It's been very well organized by Peter DeBoer and his staff. And it's a little bit of a tryout for a few guys.
But realistically, once you get to the hub and you go a distance in the playoffs, George, you have a 31-man roster. Almost everybody's going to play. they're going to have to. I mean, health for injury reasons, for whatever reasons, Peter's going to, and you and Kelly, you're going to have to make some decisions at certain points about how you're going to use those guys beyond 20.
That's right. And, you know, you have to study the data over the years to find out, you know, how many forwards do you typically go through? How many defensemen do you typically go through if you have a long run? And so go through that process, and you know the decisions that we have to make to move, you know, to cut a couple of guys aren't going to be easy ones.
Training camp many years ago used to be about getting into shape. That's not so much anymore. Guys come to camp in shape. But this camp, as it happens, will actually be longer than a normal training camp would be in August or September.
Yeah.
You got a little more time here. Are these guys going to be in tip-top shape? Have you seen that already?
Yeah, I can only speak for our group, but I'm sure a lot of the NHL teams are like this. Our guys look good. And as we've all learned, now you come to an NHL training camp, you skate for 3 days, and you're into games.
That's right.
And so in watching our group, I just mentioned to Kelly yesterday, as a matter of fact, today was a day off, that we've got to get through the next 4 days and get up there and get going, because it's going to get a little too frisky here. Because, you know, it's ramping up, and the guys, they need to see something else. They need to see another team, because they're at that point where it's been sort of the same thing here for 2 weeks. And you know, like, certain guys can't hit what they'd like to.
Yeah.
Like to.
Hey, how concerned are you once you get in the bubble that guys don't get cabin fever? And they're going to try to, the boundaries of the bubble are pretty straightforward. The rules and regulations are pretty straightforward. But you know what? It's not a minimum security prison, but it's, you know, there are limitations to what you can do. How concerning is that for you?
Well, thank God for good books, but I read that there's a player, I forget who it was, somewhere in the league today said, you know, in your playoff experiences, the farther you go, the less you do, which is kind of interesting. And I think he's right. So, we'll see. You know, when we were at the World Championships, Team Canada would do it right. You're on your own in the tournament for a while, and then at the right time, just before you get to the medal rounds, you bring the families in, and that changes things up. So, you know, if a month from now, the league feels it's safe enough to bring families in, that'd be kind of a neat thing for those teams that are still there.
Listen, safe trip up to Edmonton, and we wish you the best of luck, and who knows, maybe another trip to the Stanley Cup final would be nice for you guys and for the city of Las Vegas. It's great to see you and talk to you, and we'll stay in touch. Thanks a lot, George.
Well, it's really great to see you guys.
And don't forget.
Thanks for having me.
Wear your mask, George. Wear your mask.
All the time. All the time. Right, man.
Yeah, not the Jacques, and not the Jacques Plante kind either. That's not necessary. George McPhee, the president of the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll catch you next time. Okay. Goodbye.